Good evening, and welcome to Midnight Signals. I'm Russ Chamberlain. Tonight, we turn our attention to a mystery so chilling, so steeped in the uncanny, that it has remained a topic of debate and whispered legend for more than a century and a half. This is the story of the Devil's Footprints, a series of cloven hoofprints discovered in the snow in Devon, England, in the winter of 1855. Even now, well into the 21st century, people in Devon still speak of that fateful February morning. Men and women stumbled upon footprints that seemed to defy all natural reason. They climbed over high walls, snaked across roofs without breaking stride, and continued for miles across the silent, snowbound landscape. Yet no one saw or heard who or what left them there. The shape of these prints was unmistakably cloven, like that of a goat. And in the hearts of those who first laid eyes on them, one name rose unbidden, the devil himself. Tonight, we will immerse ourselves in that winter of fear, drifting back through time to explore what happened in Devon during those snow-laden days. We will listen to the voices of villagers who awoke to find these footprints winding past their front doors and across churchyards, ignoring locked gates and thick stone walls. Stories of shape-shifting demons and horned beasts found fresh life in the imaginations of people who were certain evil walked among them. Some looked for rational explanations, but many found them wanting in the face of such bizarre evidence. Perhaps you'll be drawn to the notion that the simplest answer is the darkest one, that the devil himself paid a visit under the veil of a cold February night. I invite you to settle in, imagine a hush lying over a rural county, the sky dark as dawn creeps forward, the snow shimmering under a faint moonlight. Imagine stepping outside your door, your breath puffing in the frigid air, only to discover, etched in the snow, a single file of hooves, so precisely laid that they appear almost mechanical in their perfection. Where do they come from? Where do they lead? And most unsettling, who or what could have made them? Gather your courage, for this is Midnight Signals, and in this episode, we explore a case that might well be the closest the British countryside has ever come to a direct encounter with the infernal. To appreciate the weight of the mystery, one must first picture Devon as it was in February of 1855. A land of rolling hills and patchwork fields, dotted with humble villages of thatched roofs and narrow lanes. In the early 19th century, technology was modest. Villages relied on meager candlelight after dusk, with horse-drawn carts for travel, and starlight or moonlight as the only companions on nightly journeys. The people of Devon were no strangers to folklore. They spoke freely of pixies dancing on the moors, ghostly hounds roaming country roads, and witches who cast spells by moonlight. Religion was equally vital. The church stood at the center of village life, and many believed firmly in angels and devils, in heaven and hell. That winter had been particularly harsh. Thick drifts of snow made it difficult to move between villages. Farmers labored to keep livestock alive. Wood was chopped and stored away. Coal stoked fires indoors, and families clustered close to the hearth for warmth. The roads where they existed were dangerously slick with ice. People ventured out only when necessary, often spending long nights telling stories and reading scripture by the orange glow of the fireplace. On one such night, no one can say precisely which date, the snow continued to fall well past midnight. Devon lay silent under that white blanket, each flake absorbing the sound until the countryside was as hushed as an abandoned church. It was the sort of cold that bit through wool coats and froze water troughs into solid blocks of ice. By the early hours, villagers slept soundly, unaware that something impossible was moving among them. No dogs barked, no doors creaked open. When the morning arrived and the sun began to rise, people stepped onto their porches and beheld a scene that would shake them to their core. Among the first to notice the strange tracks were farmers checking on their animals. One account describes a farmer named Robert, leaving his cottage at daybreak, rubbing his gloved hands together for warmth. He expected to only see his own footprints from the night before. Instead, he found a continuous line of sharp, cloven tracks crossing his yard. They marched in a straight line, each print about 4 inches in length, spaced at a meticulous distance from the next. At first, Robert feared a stray goat or donkey might be loose among his property, but these prints were too small and far too controlled in their pattern. With growing unease, Robert followed the line to his garden fence. The tracks ran directly up the wooden boards, some 4 feet high, then continued on the other side without any sign of the fence having been scaled or broken. It was as though the creature that made them had either leapt effortlessly or phased through the solid wood. His stomach churned when he realized the track seemed to pass unimpeded by any barrier. In another village, an old woman peered out her window and saw a single trail of hoof-like prints snaking along the lane. It led up to her neighbor's front door, paused, and continued across the roof as though gravity posed no challenge. Alarmed, she rapped on the neighbor's door, worried some intruder was wandering about. That neighbor, upon stepping outside, turned pale at the sight. He followed the prints along the snow-laden shingles and was at a loss to explain how any living animal could walk there without slipping or making a disturbance in the dead of night. Within hours, similar sightings were reported in multiple towns across Devon, places like Topsham, Limpstone, Exmouth, Dawlish, and Tainmouth. The footprints seemed to appear everywhere at once. Some said they stretched for dozens of miles, possibly even further, linking village after village in one unbroken chain. Tales spread of footprints traversing frozen rivers without a mark of hesitation, continuing over rooftops and high stone walls. There were rumors of them leading right up to the doors of churches, crossing graveyards, and weaving through gardens. No single person had a full map of their route, but the more scattered observations came to light, the more staggering the entire phenomenon seemed. When people find themselves in the face of something inexplicable, they reach for the explanations their culture provides. In Devon, shaped by centuries of folklore and biblical teachings, there was one name that rose unbidden to everyone's lips: the devil. Had the Lord of Darkness truly stepped onto snowy ground? The mere suggestion was enough to send shivers down many spines. Even in an era of strong religious faith, or perhaps because of it, the notion of the devil physically walking among them was appalling and yet disturbingly plausible. Scripture warned of the devil prowling the earth, seeking souls to devour. But to see evidence of that prowling imprinted in the snow was an entirely new level of terror. No ordinary animal left that track, people insisted. Goats or sheep would wander, not march in a perfect line. Horses would need a wide gait, and they certainly wouldn't climb over roofs in such a manner. A man wearing shoes shaped like hooves could not possibly cover so many miles without being spotted or leaving other signs of passage. Each attempt at explanation failed to account for the sheer volume and impossibility of the footprints. In the void left baffled by reason, the devil stepped forward as the only figure known to traverse the earth with absolute impunity. Whispers multiplied in taverns, around fireplaces, and in the corners of church halls. Some folks claimed to have heard faint tapping at their windows the night before. Others said they caught glimpses of a tall, horned silhouette drifting through the falling snow. None of these claims were confirmed, yet the rumor of a demonic visitation spread like flames. "Lock your doors," people said. "Hang crosses upon the threshold. For if old Nick was truly on the prowl, no mortal lock could keep him at bay, and no mortal eye would catch more than a fleeting shadow." Clergy members who were called upon to investigate the tracks found themselves equally stunned. While some tried to calm their congregations, others invoked the devil in their sermons, exhorting parishioners to pray and repent. The footprints became an emblem of a moral warning, a tangible reminder that evil is not a remote concept, but a living force that can cross one's path without a sound. Some even believed the footprints were a direct sign of divine judgment, allowed by God to test the faith of the devout. Whether they found comfort in that explanation or not, the result was the same. The entire county stood on edge, every sense heightened, as though the next footfall might materialize at their door. As midday approached, news of the devil's footprints spread from farm to farm, lane to lane. People ventured out to see them for themselves, following the line for a short distance until it vanished beyond private property or an impassable fence. Farmers discovered that the print sometimes wove right through their barns, one set of doors leading in, another leading out, each cloven mark etched perfectly in the snow-laden floor. Some discovered the trail perched atop hay bales, 8 or 9 feet off the ground, before it dropped back to floor level. In one unsettling case, a family found that the prints led up to their front steps and halted at the door. The father insisted it was a sign that the devil had tried to enter but was held back by their faith. The mother found no comfort in that, trembling at the idea that the very threshold had been tested by Satan himself. Children were kept inside, told frightening tales that if they wandered outdoors, the devil might snatch them away. A gloom settled over the land, as if the color had drained from the sky. No birds seemed to sing that day. The hush was so profound that each footstep seemed amplified. Occasionally, villagers would gather in knots of 5 or 6, pointing at the footprints, speaking in low voices, and crossing themselves. In times of such unearthly intrusion, fear bonded them together more tightly than any holiday or festival might. By nightfall, most cottages were shuttered. The roads were all but deserted. The tension was thick, saturating the cold night air. Candles burned late into the evening behind drawn curtains. Yet there was still acceptance, too, that if these truly were the devil's footprints, then mortal efforts might be futile. The clergy exhorted the faithful to keep prayers on their lips, to read from the good book, and to avoid letting fear open a path for demonic temptations. But behind every resolute face lay a quiver of dread. If the Prince of Darkness had walked these lanes once, he could do so again at any moment. Though few dared to roam after dark, occasional glimpses and strange happenings were reported. One man claimed to see a faint glow in the distance, hovering over the fields as if a lantern were carried by an invisible hand. He followed it briefly, though fear made him keep a safe distance until it vanished behind a hedge grow. When morning came, he found that same hedge marked with a fresh line of cloven tracks. Another account spoke of a sorrowful moaning in the wind, like a choir of lost souls lamenting in the moonlight. While such sounds might have been a trick of the breeze through barren trees, in an atmosphere so charged with menace, they felt like unholy wails. Some households saw fit to burn sprigs of rosemary or hang charms at windows, hoping to repel the evil that seemed to drift through the gloom. Others held informal prayer vigils, reading passages from Scripture about Christ casting out demons. These midnight gatherings blended fear and devotion into an intense supplication for protection. Children, awakened by murmured prayers, would catch sight of the adults' ashen faces and feel a dreadful certainty that something monstrous lurked just outside the thin wooden walls. These nighttime vigils often ended with a cautious inspection of the yard at dawn. Families braced themselves to see if the footprints had returned. A few claimed to find fresh marks crossing their property, sometimes even stepping onto a windowsill as if the unseen being had paused to peer inside. Such discoveries only strengthened the conviction that these were not the tracks of any mere animal. An ordinary creature might rummage in the bins or disturb a barn. Here, there was no evidence of feeding or rummaging, just the unwavering single file of cloven hooves, at once precise and horrifying. While the most immediate suspicion was that the devil himself had traipsed through Devon, some villagers wonder if witchcraft was at play. England had a long history of persecution and hysteria surrounding witches, though by 1855 the intense witch trials of earlier centuries were a distant memory. Still, folk beliefs lingered. Certain families were rumored to practice the old ways, communing with spirits in lonely glens. Others spoke of hidden circles that danced under the full moon, pledging their souls to a demonic power in exchange for favors. If witches had conjured the devil to walk among them, then perhaps the footprints were proof of a Sabbath or twisted midnight rite. Gossip flared around any eccentric neighbor who kept odd hours or was rumored to brew potions from wild herbs. Old grudges came bubbling to the surface, with some suspecting that an evil neighbor had summoned the Horned One as vengeance against the community. Yet none dared confront such alleged witches directly for fear that a curse might befall them. Rumors abounded of a black cat seen dashing through the lanes on the same night the footprints appeared. Black cats were, in many superstitions, considered familiars of witches, able to shapeshift or guide malevolent forces to a target. A few even claimed the footprints changed form in certain places, morphing from cloven hooves into paw prints. But these claims were overshadowed by the simpler, more alarming belief that the evil one had walked the land in the shape most commonly associated with him, goatish and brazen, leaving no illusions about his identity. In local churches, the response varied from parish to parish. Some vicars publicly condemned the footprints as an obvious sign of the devil's presence, exhorting their flocks to a greater piety and vigilance against temptation. They called for communal prayer sessions, and in some places they even performed blessings on doorways and farmland, seeking to banish the devilish influence from the area. Others took a more guarded stance, fearing that dwelling too heavily on satanic involvement might sow panic or lead to vigilante actions against accused witches or suspected sinners. However, the churches overall could not ignore the footprints. They were too real, too extensive, and too unsettling to dismiss as mere superstition. Even the more skeptical clergy members found themselves at a loss, for how else could one explain the single-file precision, the crossing of rooftop ridges, and the unbroken line that soared over high walls? Every known law of locomotion was mocked by these prints. A donkey could leave a scattered path. A man on stilts would slip or at least leave some mark of his hands as he scrambled over obstacles. Faced with the possibility that their adversary had manifested in physical form, some clergy delivered fiery sermons on the power of evil, conjuring vivid images of horns, flames, and eternal damnation. Congregations grew, as fear often brings people to church. The pews were packed with wide-eyed villagers seeking reassurance that God would protect them if they held fast to righteousness. But behind every avowal of faith, the haunting truth remained. The footprints were undeniably there, and no mortal had a clear idea of how to stop them. Elders in Devon recalled older stories that now seemed to come alive. There were tales from centuries past of hoofprints found in lonely woods, accompanied by sightings of a tall figure with curling horns who vanished when approached. There were accounts of travelers late at night hearing echoing hooves on the road behind them, only to turn and see nothing but swirling mist. While these might once have been chalked up to folklore, the new evidence in the snow gave them credence. Some local legends describe the devil as cunning, able to appear in countless guises. A black dog, a wary traveler, or a stately gentleman with a cane. Yet, in these legends, cloven feet invariably gave him away. Even so, the 1855 footprints were more brazen than any account in living memory. They paraded across farmland and over rooftops, as though the devil had no need to conceal himself. This lack of subterfuge left some people deeply disturbed. It suggested a boldness, an overt demonstration of power that could only mean that the region faced a direct challenge from the Prince of Darkness. Whispered stories also hinted that such manifestations sometimes occurred when a community fell into sin or when a devout population was tested. Some pointed accusing fingers at neighbors they believed had lapsed in their moral obligations, or at an unrepentant gambler in the next town, or at rumored immoral behavior behind closed doors. Could these footprints be a warning that the wages of sin lay close at hand? Fear and guilt mingled, fueling a collective sense of spiritual peril. Letters and diaries from that winter revealed deeply personal reactions. A seamstress wrote how her mother screamed upon seeing the prints by their back door, convinced the devil himself had stood mere inches from her sleeping family. A baker recounted how he followed the tracks behind his shop and discovered that they led to a tall brick wall which they appeared to climb vertically. He found them continuing at the top, as though whatever had made them had walked straight up the wall. Shaking uncontrollably, he retreated inside, certain he had glimpsed proof of a power beyond mortal reckoning. One mother wrote that her little boy refused to sleep for nights on end, terrified by the idea that the devil might come down the chimney, She placed crucifixes and prayer cards around his bed in a desperate attempt to restore a sense of safety. Another woman claimed that while checking the footprints at the edge of her property, she felt a sudden rush of cold air and heard a low, distant laugh echo across the field. She fainted, awakened later by neighbors who found her lying in the snow. These first-hand accounts stripped away any lingering notion that the footprints were a mere curiosity. They caused real emotional upheaval. For many, it felt like a living nightmare, each new dawn bringing the possibility of fresh, impossible marks. So many hearts quivered under the weight of fear that normal routines, market days, and social visits took on an undercurrent of unease. The question loomed: why had the devil come here, of all places? And what was he searching for? Amid the clamor of everyday life upended, villagers reported disturbing dreams. Many described nightmares of a horned creature looming by their bed, its hooves trailing soot and snow across the floorboards. Some woke in a cold sweat, convinced they heard hooves stamping on the roof overhead. A sense of foulness clung to the air, as though the very atmosphere had been tainted by this infernal visitation. Supernatural omens were seen everywhere. Black crow perched on a windowsill was no longer just a crow. It was a messenger of darkness. A sudden draft through the church door felt like the devil's breath. During times of harvest or festival, people might interpret unusual events as blessings or mild curiosities. But in the dead of winter, with a cold that drained both body and spirit, the footprint seemed like a pointed intrusion, a purposeful assault on the community's peace. This backdrop of bleak days and long nights accentuated the terror. Crops were not growing, the land was dormant, and the colorless stillness made an ideal canvas for something dreadful. Astrologically minded individuals pointed out that certain planetary alignments in early 1855 foretold strife, though few details remain of those claims. Still, any superstitious tidbit added fuel to the fire. Even the learned among them, scholars, teachers, local historians, could offer no better explanation. The footprint scorned all natural laws, all expectations. They appear on a rooftop, vanish at the edge of a frozen pond, then reappear miles away. This discontinuity only strengthened the sense that the devil's movement was unbound by time or space, free to glide wherever his fell purpose took him. One of the most disturbing elements of the tale involved footprints found in churchyards. Church wardens in at least two villages claimed that cloven tracks had appeared among the graves, weaving between headstones, even circling the church building itself. That the devil might roam freely on sanctified ground sent shockwaves through the faithful, if the protected power of holy sites could be so easily bypassed, then what stood between the devil and the souls inside? Some discovered the prints leading right to the church door, pausing there, as though the infernal visitor had considered entering but chose not to. Others suggested that the tracks continued around the perimeter, systematically investigating each corner of the church walls. A few devout parishioners prayed fervently that God would bar the demon's path, that an invisible shield of grace might hold him at bay. Yet the footprints themselves offered little comfort, depicting an entity that navigated any obstacle at will. In one particularly ominous story, footprints were seen on the roof of a bell tower. A caretaker climbing the tower to investigate a damaged gutter found cloven prints in a thin layer of snow dusting the lead roof. They led to the very edge, then stopped abruptly. Looking down, the caretaker saw no tracks below, as if the devil had flown away into the air. Shaken to his core, he hastily descended, hands trembling so badly he could barely maintain his grip on the ladder. A handful of men with a scientific bent attempted to propose normal causes. An escaped menagerie animal, an elaborate prank, some unknown phenomenon in the snow. They pointed out that in older times, strange events often defaulted to the devil, when in truth, nature had many surprises. Yet these voices struggled to hold influence. The evidence of the footprints was too widespread and uniform. They appeared in too many impossible places, and no one stepping forward to admit responsibility. Moreover, The sense of evil that accompanied them was palpable. Even those who prided themselves on rational thought found themselves ill at ease, staring out their windows at night, half expecting to see a horned silhouette lurking in the snow. Parish journals reveal that some investigators tried to follow individual trails as far as they could, marking distances and directions. These attempts often ended abruptly where the footprints scaled a seemingly impassable obstacle or led onto private property whose owners barred entry. In a few cases, the footprints simply vanished on open ground, as if their maker had leapt into the sky. No conclusive pattern emerged from these partial surveys. Instead, they hinted at a presence that crossed miles without fatigue, acting with a purpose no one could discern. At local taverns, a few cynics still scoffed. "A load of codswallop," they'd mutter. "Just a bunch of gullible villagers scaring themselves with wild tales." But inevitably, those same skeptics would quiet their tone when confronted with eyewitness accounts from multiple unrelated towns. And deep down, they too might wonder if a darker power was indeed at work, for how else to reconcile such bizarre facts? The devil's footprints reveal how fear can grip an entire community, bending reality to fit the shape of a single, terrifying explanation. For those who lived it, the footprints were more than evidence of a bizarre phenomenon. They were a challenge to their sense of safety, their religious understanding, and their place in a world governed by laws both divine and natural. Stripped of a normal explanation, what remained was the primal specter of absolute evil, strolling where it willed. Faith proved both a solace and a source of panic, for if they believed God was real, how could they doubt the devil? Yet, ironically, the belief that God ultimately held power over evil also offered comfort, spurring many to cling to their Bibles and prayers. The footprints tested and reaffirmed their sense of the supernatural, intensifying both dread and devotion. Whether or not the devil truly walked among them, the spiritual awakening that followed was painfully real. In the quiet aftermath, many emerge with a firmer sense of faith, convinced they have survived a brush with a demonic power. Others turn cynical, unable to reconcile the silent intrusion of such malice with a benevolent creator. But the footprints themselves, silent and implacable, offered no answers. They took from each person whatever meaning or fear they brought to them, leaving behind only a trail of questions that echoed in the hush of winter. Thank you for joining me tonight on Midnight Signals. We have walked through a winter of supernatural dread, traced hoofprints across rooftops, and peered into the hearts of a community convinced it had come face to face with the devil himself. Whether you accept this story as fact, folklore, or a chilling blend of both, the abiding power of the devil's footprints is undeniable. They represent our collective brush with the unexplained, an intrusion of dark possibility that defies our normal rules and compels us to confront the oldest fear of all, that evil is real, and sometimes it walks in plain sight. I'm Russ Chamberlain. May these echoes of Devon's haunted winter linger with you. A quiet reminder that the line between everyday life and the realm of nightmares can be crossed in a single step. Perhaps, even now, as you look out at a moonlit lawn or a snowy field, you might catch a glimpse of a solitary trail that should not be there. If so, choose your next move wisely. Draw the curtains, lock the doors, say a prayer if it gives you comfort. And remember, when the cold wind howls and the night grows silent, the devil might be out there walking once again, leaving footprints to tell the tale.